ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
It's Friday. It means political humor and all kinds of fun with Bill Melberg. Bill, good morning from Chicago.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
And good morning, ESPN Radio listeners.
Hey, Bill, what are your thoughts as we head into the inauguration weekend?
Well, Stevie and Diane, first of all, I want to assure our listeners that I'm a real, genuine person. But
this isn't a hoax, right?
No.
Okay.
But one of my thoughts is how different the inauguration might have been had Mitt Romney won the election last fall.
All right. Can you give me an example?
Well, yes, I can. Had Mitt Romney won the election last fall, my guess is that the Mormon Tabernacle Choir would have been providing the music on Monday.
I think you're right about that. But, of course, President Obama won re-election. He'll be taking the oath of office once again Monday. And joining us now is the 44th President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Good morning.
And I send a big shout-out to all of my fellow Americans as well. How y'all doing?
We're doing just fine, sir. How are you doing as you prepare to take the oath of office for a second time Monday?
Actually, Stevie, I'll be taking the oath of office for the fourth time on Monday, the only president other than Franklin Roosevelt to do so. You see, Chief Justice Roberts flubbed the oath of office during my first inauguration 4 years ago. So I took it again the next day in the White House, as you might recall.
Yep.
This time, January 20th, which is normally Inauguration Day, falls on a Sunday. And we don't do inaugurations on Sundays. So Chief Justice Roberts will be giving me the oath of office in the White House on Sunday, and then he'll give it to me again at the Capitol building on Monday. And I think the practice will do him some good. In any case, this will be the fourth time, or that will be the fourth time, that I take the oath of office.
So you probably know the oath of office by heart by now?
Yes, I do. Here it is. I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, so help me God. Of course, I'd rather bring that oath more up to date.
Oh, how's that?
Stevie and Diane, try this oath out for size. I, Barack Hussein Obama, the coolest, smartest, skinniest, and greatest president ever, do solemnly swear that I will continue to bring transformational change to America and will, to the best of my ability, keep being cool, keep playing golf, and keep having a good time for four more years as your president. So help me, Michelle.
I'm not too sure Chief Justice Roberts would be willing to administer that oath to you, sir.
Probably not. He's such a stuffed shirt.
What about your inaugural address? Can you give us a preview of what you're going to say?
Yes, I'm going to correct something John F. Kennedy mistakenly said in his inaugural address 52 years ago.
And what was that?
John Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country."
All right. What are you going to say?
Ask not what you can do for your country. Ask what your country can do for you.
Huh.
Welfare, Medicare, Obamacare. That's what we're here for. That's why you voted for us. And that's why, working together, we can overturn the 22nd Amendment, which will be the primary goal in my second term.
22nd Amendment? What is that?
That's the one that limits me to only two terms. We need to change that one right away. After all, if I can take the oath of office four times like Franklin Roosevelt, I ought to be able to have four terms like Franklin Roosevelt.
Well, good luck to you, Mr. President. We'll be watching your inauguration on television, high noon Monday, or actually 11 o'clock Illinois and Central Time. And now we're joined by four former presidents who will tell us about their inaugurations. Jimmy Carter, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush. We'll start with Jimmy Carter. What kind of a day was it when you were inaugurated in 1977, President Carter?
Well, hi, Stevie and Diane. it was a dark day in America.
Oh, you mean the weather was bad in Washington?
No, the weather in Washington was beautiful that morning. It was sunny and clear, but it was a dark day in America as the voters soon realized they had made a terrible mistake electing me as their president. Runaway inflation, double-digit interest rates, long lines at gas stations, the hostage crisis in Iraq. It was one mess after another for four long years.
And whose fault was that?
Why, it was Bush's fault.
Let's ask President George W. Bush about that. Was it your fault, Mr. President?
Stephen, Diane, I was still a kid when Jimmy Carter was president. But according to the Democrats, everything is my fault, including the fall of the Roman Empire and the sinking of the Titanic.
And was it a dark day for your first inauguration, sir?
Well, as a matter of fact, it was. It was a wet, rainy, stormy day. But it sort of fit my inaugural address because I talked about riding the storm.
All right, let's turn to your father, George Herbert Walker Bush, who has finally been released from the hospital after a long stay fighting a bronchial infection. Welcome back, Mr. President.
Good to be back, Stevie. I mean, hey, that was a bit of a storm I rode through the past couple of months, but it's good to be back home. And good to be back with you and Diane on ESPN Radio.
Great to have you, sir. Do you remember your first inauguration in 89?
Well, Stevie, that was actually my third inauguration since I took the oath of office as Ronald Reagan's vice president in 1991 and then again in 1985. And if it hadn't been for that nutcase Ross Perot messing things up in 1992, I would have enjoyed a fourth inauguration in 1993.
Which brings us to Bill Clinton.
Hi, Stevie. Hello, oh. Diane.
Hi.
Mr. President.
Oh, isn't she sweet?
Mr. President, you won that 1992 election against George Bush. Do you remember your inauguration?
Stevie and Diane. Isn't she sweet? I remember both of my inaugurations. And if it weren't for that stupid 22nd Amendment, I'd remember all five of my inaugurations while getting ready for my sixth inauguration this coming Monday.
I want to thank all four former presidents for joining us this morning with their memories of past inaugurations. And here with some inauguration trivia is our regular point counterpoint team. Senator John McCain, Republican, Arizona. Former Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat, Massachusetts. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, my friends.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
And hello, ESPN radio listeners.
Gentlemen, who are some of the great presidents who were never inaugurated? In other words, who were some of the would-be presidents who failed to get elected? Senator McCain.
Stevie, my friend, I think of some men who would have been truly great presidents had the voters been better informed. To name just a few, I think of Alf Landon, Wendell Willkie, Thomas Dewey, Barry Goldwater, Mitt Romney, and the greatest of them all, John McCain.
Barney Frank?
Stevie, I think of some would-be great presidents such as Ed White Stevenson,
Hubert Humphrey, George McGovern, Walter Mondale, Michael Dukakis, Al Gore, and John Kerry.
Well, speaking of John Kerry, if he's confirmed as our new Secretary of State, Barney Frank, you, sir, could become the new senator from Massachusetts to replace him.
Yes, I could. Wouldn't you be peachy keen? John McCain and I could be together every day in the Senate. How terrific. How peachy keen.
Gentlemen, what else can you tell us about inaugural trivia? For example, why does the president get a 21-gun salute after he takes the oath of office, Senator McCain?
Stevie, the 21-gun salute is a very audible way that the military has of honoring the newly inaugurated president. And the reason 21 guns are fired is because of 1776. When you add up 1, 7, 7, and 6, you get 21.
Huh.
Which is why the guns are sometimes fired in that particular sequence.
Oh, I did not know that. One last question. Who was the oldest person ever nominated to be president or vice president?
Stevie, the oldest person ever nominated to be president or vice president was Henry Gassaway Davis in 1904. He was the 80-year-old Democratic candidate for vice president that year. Incidentally, he lost.
Gentlemen, we thank you as always. John McCain, Barney Frank. When we come back, political humorist Bill Melberg will have a few words from the oldest person ever elected president of the United States on ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. We are back with political humorist Bill Melberg on ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. Bill, I understand you have a clip for us from the oldest man to ever be elected president, Ronald Reagan. He turned 70 shortly after his first inauguration in 81.
That's right, Stevie, and Ronald Reagan's first inaugural address was very different from the one Barack Obama will likely be delivering on Monday. Let's listen to this clip to demonstrate that point.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. And this makes us special among the nations of the earth. Our government has no power except that granted it by the people. It is time to check and reverse the growth of government, which shows signs of having grown beyond the consent of the governed. It is my intention to curb the size and influence of the federal establishment and to demand recognition of the distinction between the powers granted to the federal government and those reserved to the states or to the people. All of us need to be reminded that the federal...
Oh, no, Bill, it stopped. It stopped.
Didn't that happen last week?
I don't know.
Wow. Are you people real down there, or is this an imaginary?
Yeah, exactly. It's just all a hoax.
Making the point that... I like that line. We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Right, exactly.
This is very different from the message I think President Obama will be delivering on Monday.
Well, I think that's right. I think we've kind of gone, as pointed out here on the John Kennedy reverse, ask what your country can do for you, right? That's not what I thought we were about, but it's just where we are right now. It's going to be very interesting, Bill, in the next 4 years.
Well, it's going to be very interesting in the next 4 weeks as the president locks horns with the House once again over the debt ceiling.
Well, there's no question about that. We're all watching that. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't think any of us do, but it's going to be, we're just knocking heads. What about the good old days of Tip O'Neill working with Ronald Reagan? Wow.
Yes, after 6 o'clock, we'd get together and have a beer. But he was just an imaginary person.
Isn't
that whole thing crazy?
Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable with the Notre Dame linebacker.
Right.
Unreal. Bill, as always, a pleasure.
Oski wow wow.
You can listen on our podcast. You want to hear this again, ESPNCU.com. Cardinal Caravan, we'll see you all at the I Hotel, south of the Assembly Hall, 1st and St. Mary's Road at noon. People will get there earlier. Wear your Cardinal Red. We'll have a lot of fun with that. And looking forward to seeing Mike Claiborne and all the great players that will be in town, including Joe McGrain, and one of the alum, and of course, Pete Cosmet. Diane, thanks.
Enjoy the weekend.
I'm Stevie J from Champaign Urbana at the Pines in Urbana. We'll meet you at the I for the Cardinal Caravan at noon.